Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Osiris.
What's going on? It's your girl, Karina Reichman, here with another episode of Inappropriate Happiness, and I am overjoyed to be speaking with my dear pal, who happens to be across the pond in Europe. He's going to tell you all about it. Isaac Sloan, what is going on?
Karina, it's an international affair right now. I am coming at you live in Dublin. Take me out to dinner, baby.
Yo, that is what I am talking about. Tell us, I'm picturing you, new red head of hair, frosty Guinness, talking about James Joyce. What is the vibe? Give the listeners what they need to hear. Tell us how it's all been, dude.
Well, unfortunately, I do not have a new head of hair, but otherwise, you are spot on. I am at the James Joyce International Symposium, the centennial event for the publication of his novel, Ulysses. And it is day one here of this conference. And I gave my paper today, which is a real thrill because I get to hang out and hear other people give their papers and talk to interesting Joyceans and take in the city of Dublin, which is a real treat for myself.
Definitely. And then even before all this went down, you were doing something one could say is a little bit different in a great town, Liverpool.
Yeah.
Well, you tell everybody listening. I know all this because, you know, Isaac and I talk to each other every day. But you got to let the people know the sick, sick thing you did right upon landing. You know, you basically diverted your trip so you could start here and then end up in Dublin. So where did you go first, and who did you see, and why was it the best shit ever?
Well, Karina, that is absolutely correct. I started my trip last Wednesday night, taking the red eye from New York City to Manchester, where I arrived at 8 in the morning and took a train another 2 hours from Manchester to Liverpool in England, home of the Beatles, amongst many other things, to see legendary rock act the Rolling Stones play Anfield Stadium, which is the football stadium for Liverpool's football team.
Dude. And at this point, you know, you've flown overnight. You've taken planes, trains, and automobiles to get there. What is your demeanor like when you pull up at the stadium? Are you zonked? Are you stoked? Are you a combo of the two? What's it all feel like?
Well, Karina, I have said it before and I'll say it again. When the house lights go down, of course, this is the middle of broad daylight, but think about it. When the house lights go down and the crowd roars and the announcer says, "Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Rolling Stones," and Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, and Ron Wood step out on stage. There is nothing like that. It is a true rock spectacle. It is a moment of reverence for the tradition of rock music. And, you know, as they put on an amazing show last Thursday, it is a sign that their legacy is enduring, and they were in, you know, incredible shape and very, very fine form. So, you know, I had no choice but to but to brush aside the sleep in my eyes and, you know, really, really get down in it with, you know, we're talking about passionate listeners and enthusiasts, and certainly Liverpool really gave the Stones their all as a crowd.
Incredible. Wow. I mean, still boggles the mind that you went to that. Now you're at the thing. You gave the paper. Now you get to check out other papers and take in all of Dublin for everything it's worth. It's really a beautiful trip and a sick adventure, dude. I'm just, you know, riveted hearing you talk about it. So this is an amazing, amazing thing. And the same night that you saw the Rolling Stones, I was seeing music. It wasn't the Rolling Stones, but it was one of my Rolling Stones.
Yeah, no, that's...
if that makes
and
any
you
sense.
And many others.
Me and many others, you know. I saw the rock band Ween in Connecticut at the bowl that popped up there last year. Really a beautiful venue. Gorgeously curated concert calendar. And, you know, for those who don't know, Ween... to me, you know, being one of my favorite bands growing up, and just, you know, when I listen to them and when I go and see them, I realize that I know how to play just about every song, let alone, you know the words to all the songs and all that stuff. They put on a 3+ hour show every night, no repeats. It's really a wild thing considering they hardly jam, you know, so it's kind of like a 3-hour punk rock extravaganza, except, you know, sometimes they jam, but it's certainly not a 3-hour show comprised of, like, you know, 10 tunes. It's a 3-hour show comprised of like 30 to 40 tunes, which is wild. And you know, it carries specific weight for me because without Ween coming back, I would have never gotten the Marco Benevento gig, which is what has made my music career a career. And that's all Dave Drywitz's fault, and Dave Drywitz to thank. He is the bass player in Ween and the bass player in Joe Russo's Almost Dead, and was the bass player in Marco Benevento's band until he passed the torch to yours truly. So every time I see Ween play, it reminds me of the fact that such a selfless act was, you know, done in my honor, meaning Dave relinquished his gig to me and basically said to Marco, Karina's the only person I want to fill in for me. And then Marco said, absolutely. Next thing you know, 6 years later, we're still going strong, and it's a crazy, crazy feeling. But I'm such a huge Ween fan from the get-go, regardless of my emo personal takes on it. To me, you go, they make you laugh, they make you cry, every song's different, they genre bend more than anybody that I can think of. And it's just a crazy thing to behold how they're able to write these songs that weave in and out of, you know, you get your country tunes, you get your funk tunes, you get your punk rock metal tunes, you get all sorts of lunacy in between. That, you know, the place was in high spirits that night, and it was really just an amazing thing to take in your favorite band, or one of, you know, at a summer outdoor concert venue, which really felt great. And, you know, people were rearing and ready to go. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And they got some of my favorite tunes. We got Bananas and Blow, crowd favorite, Transdermal Celebration. We love it. There's this tune called Cornbread Red, which is not on any record, and they've only played it live a tiny smattering of times. And I've now caught it twice, which is hilarious. And it's a total, you know, country, you know, picking and slinging tune, which is great. So I really enjoyed that. So much, so much to love. And, you know, one thing about the Westville Music Bowl is that they have a backstage pizza party every night after every show where a pizza food truck with a full, like, wood oven, coal burning, blah, 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 pizza situation comes and parks backstage, and the band and crew and guests get to enjoy real, authentic, you know, Connecticut style pizza. And it was a real treat. So that was wildly enjoyable. And I also saw Modest Mouse last week, but that was a very enjoyable night in Central Park, summer stage. Great band, classic stuff. I was just soaking up all of my, you know, 90s rock, which was awesome. But not far from the Ween show, Isaac, was a band very near and dear to your heart, our hearts, two bands really, the Disco Biscuits and Humphreys McGee, kicked off what they're referring to as the Dumb, D-U-M-B, tour. and things started off recreational, and then they got medical.
Yeah, I mean, I was just having this, you know, daydream of Daryl Jones of the Rolling Stones doing for me what Dave Drywitz did for you, and going to Keith and Mick and being like, you know, guys, I have to pass the torch onto one person and one person only, and it's Isaac Sloan.
Dude, I mean, you'd shit your pants, right? That's
why I would definitely require Connecticut New Haven style pizza at every show on their tours.
Without right? You'd have
but
to.
Definitely.
You'd
that
have
sounds
to.
So good. But yes, the Disco Biscuits and Humphreys McGee, they have toured together before. It's known as Dumb Disco Humphreys McGee Biscuits. And yes, they are back together on the road. They just finished up a couple of dates. They'll go their separate ways and then reconvene for some shows later this summer. And what made these shows particularly special is that the Disco Biscuits debuted a new batch of tunes. You know, they have been churning them out pretty regularly since 2019, but there was a big drought, a set break, if you will, where they weren't playing that many shows and weren't writing that many tunes, and that seems to have really changed its course. And tunes like Another Plan of Attack, Space Train, Tourists, and a few others were debuted this past little run. And I have checked them out on the, say it with me now, Nugs.net app. And these tunes are pretty cool, Karina, I must say. I am enjoying them. And I think when I fly home to the United States, I will be checking out the Disco Biscuits at City Bisco for the two nights that they are playing at the Mann Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, next weekend.
Dude.
The 18th and the
19th. And that's, yeah, that's like coming right around the bend, which is crazy. Amazing that, you know, you get to hear these new crop of tunes debuted, a lot of them, and they get a few days to rest and reset. And of course, this is them coming off of a co-headlining situation with Humphreys McGee. And then you get to be thrust right into City Bisco in, you know, Philadelphia, their stomping grounds, a beautiful place to see the Disco Biscuits, the place to see the Disco Biscuits, you know, and doing headlining shows, you know, shows where they're not splitting their time with another band. As cool as the concept is, and I think it is, I think it's great that, you know, you get to have a little bit of Humphreys, a little bit of Biscuits, but at the same time, if you're a massive fan of one and less so of the other, you know, you look forward to seeing your band, you know, it's like seeing Humphreys in Chicago or whatever, you know, it's like, all right, this is what we've been waiting for, sort of, you know, you get to see two sets of your band of choice this weekend, Isaac, and I'm very excited for you. I think that's great. And I listened to Who's in Charge, dude.
Oh, yeah.
That is sick.
Yeah.
That is really great. That's the, you know, I mean, there's a lot going on, and so stoked that, you know, the band is kind of creatively reinvigorated, it sounds like. I mean, so many tunes dropping and really long versions of these tunes, right?
Yes. I mean, they're stretching them out. And another cool thing about City Bisco is that they will be warmed up after playing these shows, and they will have, you know, really kind of experimented with them in front of an audience for the first time. And, you know, have a sense of the kinds of directions that these tunes can go in. You know, I think the Biscuits, of all the jam bands, are certainly one that, you know, the tune represents a certain kind of style for jamming sometimes, you know, that that there's a kind of sound that emanates from the song throughout the improvisation. I think that's a cool thing about their setlist construction. They can kind of, navigate or orchestrate a set based on these compositions that they know will, lead them, although obviously it's improvised, but in a certain kind of musical or, auditory direction, which I really admire about them. And so I'm looking forward to getting to know these tunes a little bit more and thinking about how they factor into the larger Disco Biscuits songbook.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm so excited for you to come home from your crazy trip and then go to Philly to see the biz. It's just so surreal.
Yes, hopefully I will feel well rested enough to bring the heat for the Disco Biscuits in Philly.
Heat will be brought. If moderate heat is brought on night one, you will sleep for 15 hours the next day, and extreme heat will be brought for the next one.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right.
Oh, you're going to slay it. It's going to be great. I wish I could be there. Oh, man. Well, the Biscuits are on tour, and that's an exciting thing. But let me tell you, Isaac, there's a band called The Smile that's really been grabbing my auditory attention these days, and it is a big deal that they just announced their first North American tour. And it's happening this fall, dude. And for those who don't know, The Smile, it's a new band from Radiohead's Tom York and Johnny Greenwood and Sons of Kemet drummer Tom Skinner. And they've announced their inaugural North American tour. 19 shows, dude. And I mean, I'm thrilled. I've listened to this record like my absolute plane is going down. I've enjoyed it immensely. What a three-piece, first of all. And you know I love three-pieces. I have an absolute propensity for three people on stage. I think it's so cool. And honestly, maybe the coolest, group. It's pretty exciting. Pretty, pretty exciting. And we're looking at, it starts in Providence, Rhode Island, Boston. We get two nights in New York City. We have one night at the King's Theater, which is in Brooklyn, New York, on November 18th. And then two nights later, we have them on my mother's birthday, shout out Anne Boyman, November 20th at the Hammerstein Ballroom. Very exciting. Then they're going down to the Anthem in Philly. A couple Canadian shows. We have them in Montreal and Toronto. Detroit, Milwaukee, Chicago, Nashville, Atlanta, New Orleans, Dallas, Denver, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, San Francisco, and capping it all off in Los Angeles. Wow. I mean, I want to go.
I couldn't help but notice that they're kind of suspiciously off on November 24th.
Oh!
For those listening, November 24th will be Carina Reichman's birthday. I guess it is always Carina Reichman's birthday, but it will be as this year as well. And I am vying for a Sons of Kemet private show. Where would you like that hosted?
Oh,
don't say New Haven,
my
Connecticut.
Sweet Lord. Oh, yeah. No. Where would I like the Sons of Kemet party? Well, would it be Sons of Kemet with Johnny and Tom?
Like, oh, yes, that's right. It's not going to be a Sons of Kemet show. It's going to be The Smile.
Dude, well, wouldn't it be cool if it was both? Well, I'll tell you what, Isaac, I think it should take place. It should take place in some really fucked up location, like, a cave in Central Park or something.
We need to come up with, like, more locations. Like, we need to have some funny locations for bands to play.
Yeah, like, it can't just be a venue. Like, it has to be some weird shit where it costs a shit ton of money to get the production there. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And we're all standing there in our parkas and, like, have, like, artificial heat pumped in there.
Yeah, right. In the November weather, we're just, trying to make sense of what's going on.
Totally. And it's got to be, like, post-apocalyptic, weird vibe going on. And, like, Tom York is absolutely crazy. Crooning his heart out, and then the Balto sculpture in Central Park is howling along with him.
I like that.
I'm going
I
deep.
I like that. That's a good deep. Way to celebrate your birthday this year.
I would really love to see that. It would be really great. Yeah. Have you listened to this record, Isaac? What's your hot take?
You know, I listened to the singles as they were released and I liked them all. Yeah. And then just today, with this announcement, I put on the record in full and absolutely, I just think it's fantastic and I really am looking forward to listening to it more. You know, Tom York has put out some albums. Johnny Greenwood has obviously done quite a bit himself. But this, you know, them together is a very special thing. I'm a big Radiohead fan and, you know, really looking forward to really digging in and going to see them live. And it's just very, very cool. And I can imagine that they are doing this out of a real love for playing together, a real love for these tunes and also playing live. So count me in. The Smile, absolutely. A Cave in Central Park, the King's Theater, whatever, I'm there.
Dude, exactly. Even, what's a shitty restaurant in New York, like Dos Caminos?
Oh, yeah, they could play Dos Caminos.
Rosa Mexicana.
No, I got it. They're going to play the Korean restaurant on 32nd Street with the waterfall.
Oh, dude, I don't know which one that is. Fucking play. Honestly, it's a great thing that you bring that up because we ought to throw a party there and like play.
We should.
Have we been waiting for?
There's usually just like a solo pianist that plays in front of the waterfall, right?
Yeah, fine and good. Sure. Yeah. No, we need to revitalize that and then get all the bulgogi and have a real, real party. That's a great concept. With or without Tom York. Sorry, Tom. I mean, you're invited, but you know, if you don't want to come, we can do it without you. Beautiful concept, Isaac. I love to see it. I'll tell you what, we have a couple more things to talk about, but before we get too ahead of ourselves here, I just want to mention before Phish, of course, it wouldn't be an appropriate happiness if we didn't mention our favorite band, Phish, but, before Phish plays two nights in Philadelphia, which will take place on July 19th and 20th. The Ardmore Music Hall, a venue close to my heart, where my dear friends have worked throughout the years and I've been lucky to play throughout the years. It really always feels like home when you're at the Ardmore. The Ardmore is hosting a night of Osiris Live, the very platform on which you are listening to Inappropriate Happiness, dear listener. It's going to be a night of music and conversation featuring Tom Hamilton, Chris Forsythe, and Daniel Donato with the house band Ryan Jewell, who plays with Riley Walker, among others, and Andy Cush from Garcia Peoples, and Ron Stabinski from the Meat Puppets. Huge fan. It's going to be a unique musical experience combining live music, conversation, lots of jamming, and obviously all kinds of other stuff. RJB, who is the maestro of Osiris, if you will be there hosting. And each musical guest will talk with Osiris Media and then play a couple tunes with the backing band. And then the night, of course, will conclude with a super jam featuring all the musicians. So if you're a Philly native or you live in Philly now, or if you're going down to the Phish shows, maybe you're going early on the Monday and you're looking for something to do, look no further. And there, you can get your tickets now online. It's a beautiful thing, Isaac. If I'm there, I might be there. You know what I'm saying? I think this sounds like a beautiful night to celebrate our Osiris familia.
I like that when musicians you expect to play together, it's called a jam. But when there are musicians that you don't expect to play together that do play together, it's called a super jam.
Dude, you make a really valid point.
It's a very interesting kind of colloquial thing we've adopted as a jam band community. I like it. I'm here for it. I think it makes all the sense in the world, except that it doesn't make any sense at all.
Except once in a while, one of the bands that you expect to jam really do rip out a super jam and you don't call it that because you expect Warren Haynes to be involved somehow. And it's really just Phish.
Totally.
It's a difficult line to walk there, but you make a very valid point. Oh, and You can get your tickets. It's osirispod.com/OsirisLive. That will redirect you right to the ticket buying link. And we beg, beseech, and implore you to do so. And yeah, I'm psyched on that, Isaac. I'm psyched on that. I feel like, you know,
it's
one of many excellent shows.
All super jam jokes aside, it sounds like a great lineup. I mean, Riley Walker.
Right?
Yeah, totally. It's like psych, it seems indie, great. Jammy, pre-fish.
Pre-fish. And at the Ardmore, shout out our boys, Julian Booker, Jesse Soifer, Chris Perella, Nick Greeley. We've got a lot of pals who work over there, and they do a beautiful, beautiful job with it. And it always, you know, much like when you walk into the Brooklyn Bowl in New York, for me, you feel like you're home. You always feel like you're home at the Ardmore, and it's just really nice to have, you know, a club where everybody knows your name. It's really a sweet thing. So thanks, Ardmore, for being so damn cool. And, Isaac, you know, another thing we have to mention before we put a bow on this thing, my dear pal, my band leader, my spiritual brother, Marco Benevento, put out a brand new record over the weekend, and it's called Benevento, which harkens to Paul McCartney's McCartney, you know, and he played every single instrument on this record. So no, you cannot hear your girl me playing on it, but that doesn't mean that it's not spectacular. In fact, it's wildly spectacular, and I am right now knee deep in learning a few of these tunes to be played live, obviously throughout the summer and beyond. But on Wednesday, this Wednesday, I will be playing with Marco Benevento at the Relics Studio in New York City, and we will be going live. It's a Relics stream, a Relics Twitch stream. So looking forward to that, and always fun to shed new Marco tunes. And it's really, these are like, it's very much inspired by William Onyebar and Kiki Guyon. And it has these like bursts. They're little like psychedelic world music vignettes almost that I really, really like. And I think he's done a beautiful job with it. And of course, this was you know, all music that he worked on when he was holed up all by himself during the pandemic. And now it sees the light of day for all to enjoy. So big ups to our boy Marco, and I'm just thrilled to be able to play the tunes with him.
That's excellent. I had no idea he put out an album, and I will go listen to it immediately.
Oh my God, dude, Benevento. You gotta listen to Benevento. It's really, really cool. Great stuff. And he tells me, you know, he worked on so much of that music during that time. He even has enough material for a Benevento 2. So let's see it, man. Let's see it. I mean, to be self-sufficient enough that you can play everything and, you know, make it all happen, that's Marco in a nutshell. You wouldn't even believe. Sometimes that guy, like, he picks up an upright bass at his house and plays the absolute shit out of it. I'm like, damn, how did he know how to do that? Like, that's so intense. He's a great drummer. He's wild with it. He is really wild with it. So looking forward to that. And then this weekend, I am playing Bonnaroo. We touched on it last week. Gotta say it again. Wildly excited. And I will be playing at 9 p.m. on the Who stage on Friday night. So if you or a pal are going to Bonnaroo, I hope to see you there. And then my band will be playing through, no hotel room, going straight on a 6 a.m. flight up to the Hudson Valley for Marco Benevento's very own festival, his inaugural Follow the Arrow Festival. So I'm looking forward to playing not only a set with my band, but a set with Marco as well. And I will be bleary-eyed, worn hard, and put away with, and absolutely loving every minute of it. So look forward to all of that. And yeah, that's what I got for this week. What else you got for this week, Isaac, before we wrap this thing in a nice bow?
I'm wildly excited for you. It all sounds fantastic, and I look forward to seeing you on the other side of our respective journeys, and probably going to see some live music together.
Dude, abso-fucking-lutely. That'll be a great moment to be alive. It'll just be like, dude, you've seen some shit. I've seen some shit. Holy shit. Now what? And then we'll be on fish tour or something like that.
Yeah.
That will be
sure, soon enough. Soon enough.
Yeah. All good things in all good time, as Jerome Garcia once said. Well, enough with the platitudes. I will say we are thrilled to call Marlo Shankweiler our producer. Thrilled. RJB is our main man. Brian Brinkman, you all are just legends that keep the inappropriate happiness train a-rolling. And, man, I mean, I can't wait to talk to you next week, Isaac. We will be in different locations once again, but it doesn't even matter because the airwaves keep us bonded by blood and by satellite transmissions. This is a fantastic thing, dude.
Truly fantastic. Is.
Any parting words for the kind listeners all the way from Dublin?
Take care of yourselves and enjoy.
Dude, couldn't have said it better myself. Goodbye, everybody. Have a wonderful week.
Bye.
Osiris. Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast.
This is the story of Whitney Houston.
This is the story of Kurt Cobain.
Of George Michael, of Otis Redding, of Amy Winehouse, of Michael Hutchence, Bob Marley. This is the story of Prince.
It's a new podcast series.
About how they died, why they died, and why we're still talking about them so long after.
It's like nothing you've ever heard before.
It's storytelling.
But it's more than that, because rock stars,
they tell us how we feel. They change our mood.
They change the clothes we wear, the people we hang out with.
The way we remember things.
It's them who give us those ludicrous moments. The ones where you're
jumping around, singing your heart out, feeling understood.
And it's those moments we'll help you remember. The ones you're thinking about right now.
That feeling.
That feeling.
It's coming soon from Crowd Network.
Just search for Death of a Rockstar on your podcast app.
And subscribe now.